about the rate of the sunshine, it is very surprising that the modern excursions to the moon could be possible. Since the moon is so distant, how space vehicles could go there is doubtfully mystery. Modern scientific calculations are subject to one change after another, and therefore they are uncertain. We have accepted the calculation of the Vedic literature. These Vedic calculations are steady. The astronomical calculations made long ago and recorded in the Vedic literature are correct even now. Whether the Vedic calculations or modern ones are better may remain a mystery for others. But as far as we are concerned, we accept the Vedic calculation to be correct. May I repeat this part, please? Whether the Vedic calculation or modern ones are better may remain a mystery for others. But as far as we are concerned, we accept the Vedic calculations to be correct.
Talks about the movement of the moon
in relation to the sun. So we previously we understood that the sun moved very, the speed of the movement of the sun is quite fast. And apparently here it said that the moon moved faster than the sun. How we can understand this? Because in our experience we also see the different movements of the moon and the changes that the moon is shortness is playing, the phases of the moon, and how the Vedic is, the Vedic literature is describing here. If we reconcile, how we can understand this point is because, for example, we have three premises for understanding acquired knowledge: guru, shastra, sadhu. The shastra is establishing here this statement, and Prabhupada clearly is teaching us, as the acharya, teaching us the respective proper approach, ascertain the validity of what is described here. And the sadhus are helping us to apply this in our daily lives, how we can understand. So with the help of many other devotees who were also trying to understand and working in more research about this topic and for our benefit. And for example, with the help of the Surya Siddhanta, that is another book that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj translated. And many devotees also have access to that information, and that give us more light to understand how this works. He said that, for example, as yesterday in the presentation given by Gopamandesh Prabhu, in the graphic we learned them about the movement, the sun, how in relation to the Kala Chakra, there are different motions that different plants are having, and the moon as well. But the description that is given here is more from the perspective from the Soviet science. It's for the reason that it thinks that the moon moves faster than the sun. Because yesterday we understood that the sun, in relation to the Kala Chakra, where the constellations and the zodiacs are on, so like a fixed, the zodiac or the constellation, they don't have movement, but they move with the Kala Chakra. So Kala Chakra, the speed of Kala Chakra is faster than the movement of the sun. So it said the variation and the difference is just for 1 degree between the Kala Chakra and the sun. In that way, for example, for the sun to cover one of the constellations, Kala Chakra, it takes 30 days. It's one, only one constellation. So it's whole movement of the sun to cover all the zodiac takes 12 months. Because 1 month covers just one aspect, one constellation. Because every day is just one part of this zodiac, one part. So 30 days take to cover whole. But the movement of the moon, the angle of variation is not just 1 degree, it's 30 degrees. This is according to the Siddhanta. So it's 30 degrees of variation, and it's the own motion of the moon, the sun, and the Kala Chakra. So looks like the moon is like a retrospective movement. So in that sense, when the Kala Chakra is moving faster, the moon comes to, it happens that it's covering twice the same constellation. For that, for example, if we revise the 4 nights, the galaxy, we have 28 galaxies during the year, so it means that twice every constellation the moon is happening, it's coming. So in that way, we explain that it's said here that the moon cover or is passing twice the sun's each, sorry, literally said the two fortnights, the moon travels through the equivalent of the samsara of the sun. So, because the sun takes 1 month, sorry, 1 year to cover all the zodiac, but for the moon it's twice, does it twice, because the angle that it has, 13 degrees, along with the movement of the Kala chakra, allows the moon to pass through every zodiac twice in a year. For that reason, it's explained here that apparently the moon is faster than the sun. But it's not because the property of the movement of the moon itself, it's because the movement of the Kala chakra and the moon is together makes that the Kala chakra is faster, that gives the ability of the moon to pass twice of the zodiac during the year. Is that understood? Yeah? So in that way, but again, this is based in the Surya Siddhanta that sadhus are helping us to understand the statement that Acharya is giving to us, and of course, based in the Shastra. So what we were mentioning before, the way how we learn is based on Guru, Shastra, Sadhu. So, and in this case, to me personally, the way how Prabhupada established the attitude, the conviction that every serious spiritual practitioner our tradition should have, according to the Shastra, the approach to the Shastras, the firm conviction, no matter, Prabhupada very nicely said, as far as we are concerned, we accept the Vedic calculation to be correct. But why? Prabhupada also, it's not like a blind, you know, it's not just, it's correct and that's it. The Prabhupada also said, why? He said, because for thousands of years, for a long time, those calculations that are described or presented here in the Shastras haven't been changed. It's fixed. So, and it can be verified. And we can see that with the help of our advanced and also serious devotees, sadhus, we are able to corroborate that information is correct. And many devotees who are, for example, engaged in projects along with science and studying the Shastras, can give us different evidence or help us to understand how this works, like we said, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, by presenting the Surya Siddhanta and devotees from the BA, Bhaktivedanta Institute. Also, based on their background, scientific background, they help us also to understand what they actually is the Shastras are saying. So it's, and also corroborate, you know, it's basically ascertain that this is true. In that way, for example, I was trying to present or prepare the class today, and I came across a very important, to me, very important presentation with the Karma Prabhu that I humbly suggest you to, perhaps if you are already, you didn't do it, you already did it, or if you don't. It's a presentation that Dutta Karma Prabhu did it on 4th of September, and the title is Multidimensional Universe of the Vedic, of the Vedas and the Vedic Cosmology. It's the 4th of September 2021. And it's a very interesting presentation based on this aspect of the cosmology, Vedic cosmology, where Buddha Karma Prabhu says that actually the Vedas or the Vedic cosmology main purpose is to help us to address three main questions: who we are, where we are, and where we should be going. Because if we don't understand who we are, we as our real identity, so we won't be able to act in our self-interest, because again we don't have a real understanding who we are, and the current of the modern scientific knowledge has a different understanding who we are, and in that way is the apparent contradictions that we are experiencing, or perhaps cause of doubts on what we are facing right now, or difficulties to understand and accept the statement of the Shastras. The most of us, we have exposure to the educational system where it's based on the modern scientific philosophy of nature, where, for example, that according to the reductionist worldview of nature, according to science, it said that we are just matter. It's we are not a spirit. Our identity is just a matter. And as a matter, we are unconscious. The quite different approach how the Shastra says that who we are are Ahamrahasmi, according to the Vedic cosmology. So we are conscious. But scientific approaches say that we are just matter. Dr. Karma Prabhu said in his experience visiting one museum in South Africa, the museum is an invitation to know yourself, discover yourself, he said. And but in the just starting in the entrance, there is a big sign that it says, let me read it. It's a statement given by Richard Dawkins. Probably you heard about him, the famous biologist that is 80s. And it's a big word that said, we are survival machines, robots, vehicles, blindly programmed to preserve the selfish molecules known as genes. So that is the healthy current modern science has understanding about who we are, machines, mental. So if you allow me to revise a little bit how the scientific method has been built on the philosophy of nature, the current philosophy of nature that most of us has been exposed, and unconsciously have an understanding about our identity, about the nature. For example, there is one scientist, biologist as well, he is more in a process investigating the presence of consciousness in nature, and contrary to the approach that current the mainstream scientist has, he says that he wrote a book entitled The Science of Delusion. That is, his name is Ruber Sheikh-Drick. Have you heard about him? Very famous, and he's from UK. And he established and he said that there is a belief that science already understands the nature of reality in principle, but it's leaving the details to be filled up according to circumstances. And this is supported by the technology that we are experiencing right now, the advance of the technology that make us believe that the science is right, Because whatever transformative things that is happening, that we are experiencing, is underlined by the development of the technology based on science. So it's a that's understanding that we are having, so that science must be right. We understand also that the science have, as we mentioned before, a very effective and powerful method, the scientific method, that even sometimes Prabhupada mentioned about it as well, when he said that Krishna consciousness is scientific. Why? Because in the scientific method is based on questioning, then discussing with hypotheses, and empirical evidence. So the same principle, this method is essential for science, but it's applicable for Krishna consciousness as a spiritual science. But the current science, it's reductionist in this approach about the philosophy of nature, where it's based more in the materialistic point of view, where everything is matter, and it has a dogma based on 10 principles. I will be just touching a few of them, because it's related to what Buddha Karmatra was presenting, so I thought it would be interesting for us to understand this point. Because the importance to understand who we are, that it's very essential at this point. Science has an understanding that we are just matter, machines, and everything is matter, and that means unconscious. And matter is the laws of nature are fixed. And there is a very famous law of conservation of matter and energy. Most probably you're thinking you heard about it in studies. Physics, for example, and there is no consciousness, there is no mind, it's just the protocol functioning of the brain. Those assumptions of, for example, of science were, it's just recently, because that started from the 19th centuries, but previously we studied the history of science, the philosophy of nature. Around medieval age, where, for example, Thomas Aquinas, they have a philosophy that everything is an organism, the anima, comes the spirit in Latin, and Aristotle's, Saint Thomas Aquinas, his philosophy is based in Aristotle, where he acknowledged the body and also the spirit. But in the Renaissance with Descartes, the science took another approach. Descartes separated the matter and the spirit. The matter, based on the body and the energy, it was more added by science, and the spirit, God, angels, it was just relegated just to religion. So he did that separation. But initially, it was more the understanding that we are organisms, not just matter. As an organism, that means we are conscious and we have anima. In Latin, that means spirit. But that changed in the 1900 centuries. It's quite important to understand this, how it evolved, because how now the approach of science is more materialistic, reductionist, to just matter, because makes us mechanical. And if we have that approach, as Richard Dawkins said, we are just survival machines, But in, with that approach, make us to think that we need to compete between each other, and the purpose of life would be to produce and consume more material things. With this approach, we just destroy the planet, destroy the nature, and it's also the cause of conflicts in our interaction with others and the nature. So conflict at all levels. Because with false and with the false understanding or incomplete understanding who we are, and the Shastras, as Dr. Karma Brahma nicely presented, is the purpose of the Shastras, of Vedic knowledge, Vedic cosmology, is to understand who we are, where we are, and where we should go. So, but to understand where we should go, we need to know where we are, how the universe is laid out. Dr. Karma Brahma gave a nice example. It's like being in the airport. You need to take your flight. So, but to know where you have to take your flight, you need to know how the airport is designed, where are the gates, and because how you will ascertain your way back to home, in this case, to take your flight. So you need to have knowledge. Now, for that reason, we are studying this universe, how this is organized, for us to have clear understanding where we need to go. So it's, to me personally, considered a very nice example, the analogy of the airport, and also how we can approach the study of this complex knowledge. Yesterday, some devotees mentioned it's very complex. What is the purpose of that? Why? So it's nicely presented by Dr. Karma Prabhu. And we can also understand how the fallacy of the current scientific approach about science itself, because as we mentioned before, it has some dogmas, like for example the conservation of matter and energy. And yesterday also was a nice presentation, but where at one point he said that the scientists themselves acknowledge that the whole creation, what we know about the whole universe, is just a very tiny fraction. It's 5%. It's 95% is dark matter and dark energy. So how that can come? So our Rupert-shaped Drake, that biologist that is studying the consciousness, he mentioned that, for example, with the laws of nature, according to science, the nature is stable, doesn't change. Well, sorry, doesn't. It's fixed the amount of the matter, so only can be transformed, but it's fixed. The matter doesn't become, cannot be destroyed, but can be transformed. But the amount of matter is there. That as a fixed laws of nature. But unfortunately, according to the studies of physicians, they try to understand some laws. For example, in 1980, they discovered different galaxies. And these galaxies, the behavior of these galaxies doesn't comply with what the laws of gravitational laws ascertain. So in order for them to make sure that, because the laws of gravity are real for physics, for modern science, they are not true, so how they can make the balance of the equation, so they have to justify with or must be other energy that we are, or matter that we are not able to see. So for that reason, it happened that they assume that dark matter is present there. Because otherwise, how do we justify that the laws of and gravitational laws are not working with the behavior of those galaxies? So how you can make that balance, that equation, is just adding more matter, dark matter, so that in that way the laws of gravitational laws will be balanced. So that is so how much matter is just whatever is needed to just add it. But at the same time, that also is based only in a philosophy of nature as the universe as a closed system that is slowly expanding. But recently, in 1990, we had a discovery that the universe is not slowly expanding, it's faster. So how that happened? The only way to understand that it should be that there is a dark energy that is forcing the universe to expand. So otherwise, how you would justify that? Because the laws, gravitational laws, are fixed and true. That's based on science. But themselves are facing some difficulties to how to reconcile with what they are reading with the new discoveries. So at the end, it's more matter that there is more matter than initially was. So, but initially, one of the dogmas is that matter is the same. So now, for now, that there is more matter than it was originally. So some contradictions that are happening right now in science, and one thing is one of those doubts or big problems or hard problems, the way how it's defined, for scientists, the study of consciousness. Because for the scientific, materialistic, scientific worldview, we as a matter are unconscious. We have no consciousness. And whatever happened in the brain, the mind, is just product of the different chemical products that is happening in the brain. And consciousness is just an illusion. But if we study a bit more, illusion is a state of consciousness. So imply the existence of consciousness. Otherwise, how would be illusion? So some contradictions that is happening in the current studies of science. And serious scientists, they are taking an account of these circumstances to revise what actually this science is presenting. And Dr. Karma Prabhu nicely also presented the one philosophy. Yeah. He said Thomas Nagel, that is a professor of philosophy in New York University. He wrote a book. The title of the book is The Mind and Cosmos. The subtitle is Why the Materialistic Neo-Darwinist Concept of Nature is Almost Certainly False. Is that one book by Thomas Nagel? And he said that the problem of consciousness is everything, it's becoming very much serious. If we take this problem seriously and follow up its implications, it threatens to unravel the entire naturalistic world picture, where they explain everything in terms of matter. So if we give more validity to the study of consciousness in nature, we create a conflict between what we already understand about nature based on matter. And in one sense, will give us the different options, the opportunity to explore different options of source of knowledge. In this case, for example, as Prabhupada nicely established here, to me was quite strong and confronting, because the fixed firm fate of Prabhupada in what the Shastra says And that gave me opportunity to explore a little bit about what should be the approach of us, how we can honestly approach the Shastras with our background that unfortunately some of us we have due to the educational system that we were exposed, where sometimes it's difficult to reconcile the statement of Shastras and what we understand, and also our capacity of understanding due to our level of consciousness. And when I, in this process of reading a bit, there is one statement that it said that the Vedic knowledge, the Vedic or spiritual knowledge, cannot be obtained by research or reading books. The spiritual knowledge has to be revealed. What that means, and how we can get that or the benefit of the scriptures or the spiritual knowledge to be revealed to us. There is a recipe for that, for us, for how to do it. And Krishna himself stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Do you know what is it? How we can receive knowledge and be revealed to us. It's very famous text, 434, Tadvi Pranipatina, Pranipashnana Sevaya, Tadishandi Tegyanas, Gyaninas, Tatata, Toto Darshinara. So, what that means is that we need to approach to the spiritual master. In the beginning, we talk about Guru Shastra Sadhu. So, the knowledge, the spiritual knowledge, should be revealed to us when we have the proper attitude to approach to the spiritual master, inquire submissively, but not just inquire. There is another important factor that means service. With service attitude and practical service that we can render to the spiritual master, to the sadhus, that then, by them being pleased, the knowledge will be revealed. So, but what actually means the knowledge to be revealed? Bhaktivinoda Punamaya says in one of his lectures, it's easy to have knowledge of the different books, reading, but it's just theoretical knowledge. Having real spiritual knowledge means having realization. Realization means how to apply this practical knowledge in our daily life activities. To reconcile some kind of essential exceptions that we see sometimes we confront in the Shastras, because we understand the principles. When, for example, Krishna and the Vedas established that all bones are contaminated, but in the altar we have the conscience. And conscience are bones, but they are species. So how we can apparently contradictory statements can be reconciled? So it's in this way is how we can understand that knowledge is revealed, because it's a realization. And then to acquire that aspect is to acquire that capacity has to be coming through the by pleasing the sadhus, by pleasing Guru. Quite important factor. There is one text that is very famous, Sotavatara Upanishad. Let me revise my notes. Perhaps any of you know about that text? Yatā deve para bhakti, yatā deve tatāguro, tatāste katita kyanta, prakashante mahātmana. That is Sukhantara Panisat, 633. It said that by submissive service to the Lord, faithful service to the Lord and to the Sabbath, all the Vedic knowledge will be revealed. And I was, based on that text, I was revising also many other texts that in the Bhagavatam or Prabhupada quoted, and like 20 different quotations or more, even some conversations. But just in Bhagavatam, there are 14 different quotations to these texts. They constantly Prabhupada emphasizing by submissive service to the sadhus, the knowledge will be revealed. Bhagavad Gita constantly, also when you ask in Bhagavad Gita, I found 3 times, 6, 11, 10, 8, 4, 44, 4, 34 as well, the same body. By submissive attitude, rendering service, pleasing Guru and Sadhu, Krishna, knowledge will be revealed. It's not like that we will endeavor constantly to read over self, okay, well, I can do it because sometimes I have the tendency, okay, I'll read and get knowledge, but it's just book knowledge, theoretical knowledge. The real knowledge, the real understanding will be revealed, and that depends of our level of consciousness as well. But this is what I thought should present you today. If you have any comment and questions, humbly request you please to present if you have any. Yes,
just to comment that there's no time to read the books either. The amount of books, the lectures, and
quite interesting. Yeah, you said that there is not enough time to read the books. Perhaps it's not enough over lifetime. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to read all the books and get the knowledge. Yeah,
and so that verse is important to understand that the essence will be revealed if we do service to Guru.
And for that reason it's important to understand that knowledge will be revealed by serving Guru. Yeah, another way, because if we just trust in our capacity to read all the books, a bit like Hanbomina, you said that. So the only option
is to serve the Guru.
Thank you for that comment. Any other comment? Yes, ma'am.
You mentioned about the Kala Chakra. Can you explain what is the Kala Chakra?
In the previous chapters, it's described is the movement of time.
So like how the time is perceived, like how we perceive the time, that's Kala Chakra.
Kala Chakra is the time itself. How it's moving. It's moving. And it's in the same orbit as the sun. The sun also moves. The sun is moving, but it's independent from the sun. It's the time itself. For that reason, it's Kala Chakra, Kala time. Yeah, it's the movement of time. And in that orbit, the sun also is moving.
So.
And it has its own speed, independent from the sun.
So my understanding of. My understanding was that the time is perceived more by seeing the movement of the sun or of the moon. So that's what I understood. Like say that the sun moves from 2 degrees or 3 degrees or whatever, and that's like 1 hour, whatever, just an example. So but so the Kala Chakra, that's separate to how the sun is moving.
Yes, that's right. The Kala Chakra is independent. The speed of the Kala Chakra is more than the sun. In comparison with the sun, it's just what the sun is 1 degree less than Kala Chakra. The movement of Kala Chakra. And in the Kala Chakra, all the Kala Chakra are the constellations, the zodiac, the signs. And they are like a fix. Not like on top, but the fix of there. No, they don't have movement, independent movement. But they move with the Kala Chakra. And the sun has independent movement. Because the example of the track, different tracks for the rays, different track. And if you take Kalachakra as the track number one, the runner in the track number one, it's faster than the track number two, that is sun. And we can consider the moon in track number three. So each one has different independent movement, and the speed is different. So in that way, but it's simultaneous. For that reason, we can see, if we see independently one by one, it's difficult to understand, but we need to understand that it's simultaneously three different movements, and in that independent, and each one of them, the Kalachakra more faster than the sun, and the sun faster than the moon. But if we see, that is one point of view, because if you see from the zodiac point of view, because the sun take 1 year in covering all the 12 zodiac, look like it's lower than the moon that passed twice. So we externally we can consider that the moon is faster than the sun, without considering the movement, independent movement of the Kalachakra, because actually, because the Kalachakra is moving faster than the moon, that facilitates that the moon twice cover the Kalachakra, pass twice, because the Kalachakra is quickly, and so in that way, twice the moon is in each sign. So apparently, say, oh, so because the moon is twice in each zodiac, so the moon must be faster than the sun, from the zodiac point of view. So it's quite important to understand that, as yesterday was presented, this is different point of perspective, different ways to see the same thing. From the perspective of the zodiac is one way it's presented here, but also if we see from above of them, the vision is different. So different angles of perception. So just that. The same thing from different angles of perception can be apparently different. Apparently. Does it respond?
Is the Kalachakra same as the zodiac, or is it above the zodiac?
No, the Kalachakra is the orbit where the sun is going. And it's the time. And so if we talk about physically, the zodiac is above, so constellations, but they don't have movement. But it's quite interesting how they move with the Kalachakra. Do you understand that?
I think the struggle that there's an orbit. So orbit is just a track. But then when we say the Kalachakra is moving, they're just trying to understand what in the orbit that's moving. Yeah. You know, for example, the zodiac tracks. Then you have like these constellations that are moving, but they're moving with the Kalachakra. But then what is that? That is moving in the Kalachakra in orbit. It's time to understand that.
It's good. Thank you for my information in that. The Kalachakra has a orbit where the sun also passes through. The movement of the sun is based on the orbit made by the Kalachakra. But the Kalachakra is a spine as well. Kalachakra exactly is spine that move. It has a orbit area where it goes, and the sun has a reference the same for his movement. But the Kalachakra spine, it's for us, our mind is, we need to have our physical thing or that we can see, that we need to see that. That's our capacity, or the way how we perceive, but actually it's not, it's subtle. We cannot see time, but we experience time. Yeah, something also we need to understand, we have a lot of constraints. Not just our consciousness is a bit limited, also our perception, the way how we perceive, limited senses, So, and they were how we are used to think because of our educational system, how we were brought up. So, it can check is not physical. It's something physical, okay. It's an object like a sun, the planet that is moving, it's not life. And what is myself, I'm going to be trying to learn. But only I know Kalachakra is fine. And it's described in the Bhagavad Gita, British chapter, it's fine. And in that, it has a whole bit. Like the nice example of the tracks for running. Yeah. So, in that, the constellations are only Kalachakra that is described. And they don't have independent movement like the sun. They move along with the Kalachakra.
So the Kalachakra is the track?
It has its own track. It's a whole track.
Kalachakra has the track or Kalachakra is the track?
Kalachakra has and it looks like it is also because the orbits are there.
Yeah.
And they move along with the Kalachakra because they don't have independent movement. And the way how the Kalachakra moves is faster than the sun. That's also, it's all three different speeds if we want to consider. For that reason, the runners in different tracks. So, the only thing that we, to me at this level, it's easy to understand Kalachakra is the runner in track number one, and it's faster than the runner in the track number two, that is the sun. And in this case, because we are studying the moon, so we have another runner in the track number three, and it's slower, in 30 degrees slower, instead, according to the Siddhanta. So they are all together moving simultaneously, but different speeds. Yeah. It's the only way how can I reconcile at this level, and it's what I understand. Yeah. And I was listening from other devotees as well.
Yeah.
I hope that helps a little bit. Okay? Yes, ma'am. We have a question from Sylvia. You said that when you ask Guru Maharaj a question, you just can't ask a question, but you have to do some personal service.
Yeah.
But what service can I do for my Guru if I want to ask a question?
Oh, what kind of service? Well, we need to ask the Guru as well. But in this case, for example, for all of us, we have Srila Prabhupada as our main Shiksha Guru. And if for those who they don't have specific gurus and they didn't receive specific instructions, but for all of us, Prabhupada, and the seva that we can render, it's properly, it's nicely defined by Srila Prabhupada by studying his books, chanting, following the principles, chanting rounds, offering practical service according to the temple authorities of the center where you are performing or trying to perform bhakti. Yeah, it has to be authorized.
I think she means to ask, is there any personal service that you have to do to the Guru before you ask a question?
Oh, personal service. Well, asking question also is a service as far as I understand. That depends on the mood, the way how we do it. Well, that I would say that depends on the relationship that the disciple has with the Guru and different Gurus. The main point actually is the service attitude. It's not that something that I have to specific service or personal service that I must do it. It's the service attitude, whatever is required. It's not like I approach to the person or guru to get knowledge and that's it. It's that it's a loving exchange that because of gratitude you want to serve that person, that attitude, that submissive attitude. And one of the main principles in our Shastra is that everything is based in a service attitude. Even here, today we are hearing a lot about the Vedic knowledge, or spiritual knowledge is revealed because you have the proper service attitude. It's not selfish attitude that whatever I can get it for me, because when we approach to ask questions, I have doubts. I want to clarify my doubts, selfish interest. But if we have the service attitude, and if we approach with that submissive attitude, okay, I need this knowledge to increase the quality of my performance of my service, my devotional service to Krishna, to Guru, to others. The purpose of my question is also related to the service attitude, or the attitude that we have, which is service attitude of self-serving attitude. Well, I don't know if that responds to that question, but at the moment you say, well, how can I
understand? Last one, definitely.
He has a question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is that also why disciples that don't believe in the existence of the soul? Because they don't have so much a service attitude, you know? So they can't have this realization.
Well, quite interesting what you said. Yes, for example, it's because according to our Dhruta Karma Prabhupada, he is also a scientist and he is a devotee. He emphasized, because we don't have proper understanding who we are, the tendency to consider that we are machines, just matter, and we have to survive, there is a competitive nature. So, as much I can consume and produce material things, that is the goal of my life. Me, because survival, competitive, so it's self-esteem. It's not like I will help others. And because of that, also I have a tendency to explode or destroy the nature, and the conflict, the relationship with others. That's based on Dhruta Karma Prabhu's approach. I personally consider that's very applicable to what we are experiencing. Yeah? Is that answering your question? Yeah? Important, quite important to understand who we are, what is our identity. And based on that, we will be able to act for our self-interest, based on the understanding who we are.
Thank you.
Thank you.